Hi, this is Tim Hoffman from EMS Office Hours, and this is your Monday Minutes. You know, this week I want to talk about the letter E in EMS and eviscerations or EKGs and even the word everybody. And doing this wider range of topics, I want to, you know, kind of talk about them, how they are often very well covered in a lot of EMS classes. They wind up in the end being overlooked. Tech eviscerations, you know, I chose this one because I want to point out how, even though the injury is the same, that the treatment for this can be different from region to region or state to state. Some protocols want you to cover the evisceration with a saline moistened dressing and then cover that with dry bulky dressings, and others tell you to cover it with a clear occlusive type dressing. So which is better? So, listen, I'm no means, am I an expert or do I have a lot of detailed studies on this subject, but doing some basic research pretty much shows that the primary goal for eviscerations is to keep the exposed organs moistened and to maintain the body heat. So by using either of the moistening techniques that I mentioned, you really do satisfy this objective. By using occlusive dressing with either foil or maybe clear wrap, you can also maintain the wetting agent. So using the dry bulky dressings helps you keep the area warm. So always use a saline moistened sterile dressings is my line of thought, is your first line of treatment. Then follow your local guidelines, whether it's occlusive or more dressing. Keep the area warm, and whatever you do, don't try to put the organs back into the cavity. And if possible, try to allow the patient to bend his or her knees a little bit to relieve tension on the abdomen whenever possible. Now, the next one is EKGs. Well, you know, performing 12 leads in the field, as you know, is something that is pretty much mandated in EMS nowadays, and it really is a standard of care. But it isn't just enough just to go ahead and, you know, put the EKG electrodes on the patient and print out a strip. You really have to have an understanding of what you're looking at and what you're looking for. You know, consider a right-sided assessment as well when doing 12 leads, especially for those hypotensive chest pain patients. If time allows, perform a 12 lead on patients exhibiting shortness of breath that's not related to asthma or COPD. You know, studies have really shown that while many of these shortness of breath patients may not have chest pain, they can be experiencing an MI without pain. So, of course, we always want to treat the patient and not the monitor, but by doing a 12 lead on these shortness of breath patients, it can help determine the possible cause of the shortness of breath. Then, by consulting with medical control, perhaps nitrates can even be administered by what the 12 lead presents and how the patient's signs and symptoms are showing. Last thing on 12 lead, try to repeat it after your treatment and after any changes in the patient's status. A lot of times you're going to see an improvement in the EKG. And now this is a big motivator to do a little bit more and actually see the fruits of your labor with the patient. So this is just some food for thought on the use of 12 leads other than just strictly substernal chest pain complaints. One other thing I want to mention, talking about 12 leads and placement, check out hybridmedic.com. He's got a quick little post there about proper placement of 12 lead EKG cables. Lastly, everybody. Now, this is kind of vague, but what I want to try to mention with this is determining when you're going to perform a 12 lead or what drug to give or withhold or any other treatment, BLS or ALS, really depends on one primary factor, and that is a standard approach to the patient. You know, too many times we go by the call type or what the main patient complaint is, and we should be doing a detailed vectors exam and looking for any other factors that may be causing the initial call for assistance. Is it a first-time seizure? Is that a fever? Is it a trauma-related, or is it a bleed? Tachycardia. Is that due to sepsis? Is it due to shock? Is it due to PSVT? And what about respiratory distress? Is it asthma-related, COPD-related, CHF, pneumonia? So you can see, but by having a standard approach to every patient you encounter, it's going to help you make the right decision regarding the patient's treatment. It's also going to help you do it in a quick and efficient manner without delaying that treatment. Now, I know in past audios that I've done and podcasting and articles, I've kind of mentioned similar themes, but I really am a big supporter of the basics, and all the advanced techniques that we do are really useless or even harmful if we don't stick with the basics. Do your ABCs, give oxygen, really look at the EKGs, and most of all, listen and observe your patient. You're going to find that by sticking to the basics, it's always going to help you be a better EMS provider and keep you focused on the patient that's in front of you. Well, I hope you can use some of these Monday minutes in your day-to-day EMS activities, and that they're going to help you in your patient care and maybe even in your overall EMS career. Again, if you have any Monday minutes of your own, be sure to comment below. Send me your thoughts direct to jhoffman@ems-safety.com. Until next Monday, this is Jim Hoffman from EMS Office Hours. Stay safe.